Couldn't help but think, as Joe was talking about fave or no, self or go, brolo, that Angela and Terry must think he's trying to speak in tongues. They haven't been here since we started this series. Just for their benefit and for others who might not be right there focused where everybody else seems to be, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 1. These are 8 Christian graces that we've been studying about. Tonight we're going to talk about the know part, or the knowledge part. These graces are all but, in some cases, no question about, they're demanded of God's children in different ways for different reasons. But they all work, as we've talked about, they all work together, conjoined with making one Christian, each individual Christian, approved in God's sight, making us the Christian that he would choose and prefer us to be. Let's read together. And how many of you are using cheat sheets? I noticed he would say, what's this one? You'd say it. What's this one? You'd say it. How many of you are using cheat sheets? How many of you memorized them already? Memorized them? All right. Good. Verse number 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and you abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very understandable, very pointed to the fact that if we do these things, if these things abound with us, there will be an abundant entrance, an entrance given to you abundantly into the kingdom of Christ. What else could we hope for? You know, isn't that our hope? Isn't that the one hope that Paul talked about in Ephesians 6 or Ephesians 4, the one hope of your calling? Is that hope of heaven? This is the ticket. This after obedience to the gospel, this is who we must become. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. Let's talk about knowledge. In several places in New Testament scripture, it talks about not just knowledge of Jesus Christ, but increasing in the knowledge. It talks about it here, increasing in the knowledge. So it's not enough just to know Christ. It's not enough just to know about Christ. It's not enough just to know him as Savior. We need to increase in that knowledge. In these first few verses, there's two different words for what we would say knowledge. I want to share those with you so you'll know what this really tells us. In verse 2 and 3 and 8, the word that there is used, the Greek word that's used, is epignosis. And that, according to Thayer, the commentary, means to become thoroughly acquainted with or to know very well. To not just know of or about, but to know very well, have an intimate relationship with. The word knowledge that appears in verse 5 is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. Epignosis is an extension of this word gnosis. It means a seeking to know or an inquiry or an investigation. We get this by study and experience. So what's really being said here, if we understand these two words, the first word, epignosis, which is to become thoroughly acquainted with or to know very well, this other word, gnosis, which is the acquisition of knowledge, acquisition of experience and learning, we're to add to our faith and virtue the information necessary to know Jesus really, really well. That's what this says in the Greek language. So it's demanded of us that if we're going to do this, we have to gain this knowledge in order to know Jesus really, really well. Kind of makes sense. And you might say in one way of putting it, that knowledge is an essential element in growing in the knowledge of Christ. That's those two different words, you see. Sounds redundant, but it's really not. Now, I said a minute ago we're demanded. Look with me, if you will, at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll come back to 2 Peter in a minute. But I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 just briefly. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, if you saw the Give Me the Bible program today, you might have heard us talking about this very set of verses. Anyone know what the Shema is? The Hebrew Shema is what you see in verse 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the Hebrew Shema. That's what they were supposed to do with this, is told us in verses 7 and 8 and 9. You shall teach them diligently, verse 6, and these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These words were very special to the Hebrew children, to God's children, Israel and Judah. They repeated these words every day. When they entered the gates of their property, they would touch the little plaque, the little writing where they wrote them on their gates. When they entered the doorway of the house, they would touch it as well. It's important to them. God said it was important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Why is that so important? Because knowing that made God, the God of the Bible, the Hebrew God, different from the gods that were worshipped by the other nations. They worshipped multiple gods, not Israel. Israel worshipped one God. The Lord our God is one God. So God helped, he had them understand that through this particular Shema. The reason that's important is that we're foretold that the knowledge of God would be given in a different manner in the New Testament. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. The prophecy we have here is that God would teach his people differently in this new covenant that was to come. And remember, we're talking about knowledge, the gaining of knowledge to know God or to know Christ really, really well. It's important, it was in that day, to know that God was different from the other gods. He was one God. In Jeremiah 31, at verse 31, we have these words. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. What's that covenant? The Old Testament covenant. He says, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. The knowledge of God would come about in a little different fashion. We remember that the scriptures tell us that by the design of things, we can know some things about God. He's a God of beauty. He's a God of design, a God of providence. The heavens declare the glory of God, that David said. And we also know that we can know about God through his word. That's putting the knowledge of him in our mind and in our hearts. You follow that? This was a different way. And you wouldn't have to actually teach your neighbor or your or your buddy about God, because he could just look, Romans chapter 1. He could just look around and see that there's a creator. This is the type of covenant he would give in a new covenant, not like the old covenant. Now, Colossians chapter 1 at verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 at verse 9. To be pleasing to the Lord, we need to have this knowledge of the Lord. We already know by studying Scripture that God is not pleased with those folks who do not know Him. How do we know that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, down verse 7. Lord Jesus will return with His angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. So that's not a pretty thing. We know God is not pleased when folks do not know Him or do not give credit for knowing Him. Colossians chapter 1 at verse 9 tells us a little something further. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled with the knowledge of His will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's that increasing in the knowledge phrase again. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. God's not happy when we don't take the time and initiative to know Him, either by creation or by study. You recall what God said through the prophet Hosea in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It wasn't God's fault. He had told him everything they needed to know. Are people destroyed today because of the lack of knowledge? Sure. We talked about this morning from the pulpit lesson, this world is heading for destruction. It just is. It's winding down. Things are coming to an end at some point down the road. We don't know when, but we know it's going to happen because God has told us this. Science even tells us this. Is it true that the things in this universe are winding down? Did you know you can't make any more energy? You can't. No one has the power to make more energy. Now, you can change something into energy. You can change water into steam for steam power, or you can change fossil fuel into gasoline for gasoline power, but you can't make any more energy. God made the energy to begin with. He created it all. Since that time, it's all been winding, in the process of winding down. One day, what does the Scripture say this morning? 2 Peter, it's all going to burn up with fervent heat. Coming to an end. In between now and then, we need to gain this knowledge of God. Well, what about this search for knowledge? What do we have to know about searching for knowledge? Let's look back at the Proverbs just briefly. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2 at verse 3. He says, yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So just with these few verses, we know that it takes an effort. If you cry out for discernment, if you seek discernment, beg for it, want it, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver or a precious thing or a hidden treasure, knowledge is precious, then you'll find, he says, if you do those things, you'll find the knowledge of God. So number one, we know that we need a heart that longs for and searches for this knowledge. Proverbs 8 at verse 10. Proverbs 8 at verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Remember when we studied Proverbs before, we said that the King Solomon wrote the Proverbs, he gave wisdom a persona, her, a female persona. Knowledge and wisdom, there's nothing better than knowledge and wisdom. All the gold and all the rubies and all the silver in the world cannot give you the richness, the riches that wisdom and knowledge can. Proverb 12. Proverb 12 at verse 1. I love this one. Pretty point blank. You have to be careful who you read this to. Some people can't take the truth. You can't stand the truth. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction, my translation says, is stupid. What is that? Your translation may say something a little bit different, but it has the idea of being stupid. One who hates correction is senseless. That's stupidity, to hate correction. Why is that? Because by way of correction, we gain knowledge. We gain experiential knowledge. We gain the knowledge of how things should be done correctly or rightly, especially when it comes to God's will and His desire and His demands for us. You might put that up on your refrigerator and save it for a special person. A person with these attributes will study the Bible. They'll take every opportunity to share it with others. They'll search the Scriptures. They'll pass that information along to others, as we talked about this morning. Because when we begin to gain knowledge and right understanding of what God's will is, we know it's important for others to know the same thing. Yes? Yeah. That's part of the knowledge we gain. It shouldn't be a secret to any of us by this point in our lives. In all this, there's a caution that we should make about gaining knowledge. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Someone can study to the point of having just enough knowledge to be sarcastic, just enough knowledge to be arrogant, just enough knowledge to be not one you want to hang out with. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Knowledge has to be kind of filtered through love, right? A couple of verses that we could look to. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Let's turn there briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul talks about the love factor, and what love can do that we can't be done without love. And this is that agape love again. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith," remember we're adding knowledge to our faith now, "and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Without love, knowledge is sometimes ruthless like a sharp knife. And you've known folks before in the past who tried to help you know something, but it kind of cut. They told you how smart they were in a way that was offensive, that maybe even backed you up a step or two in your Christian walk. That's possible to do. So we have to filter this knowledge and the use of it through love, or as Paul said, if I don't do that, if I have enough faith, I can move mountains, and I have all knowledge, but without love, I'm nothing, he said. So that's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 tells us love edifies and does not puff itself up. The same thing Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is not puffed up. Love is patient. Love is kind, etc. So if we filter the knowledge, no matter how smart we get, no matter how intelligent we are, if we filter that through love, it comes out more palatable, it comes out more responsibly, it comes out more caringly. And you've heard the thing said before that people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's the difference. That's an evangelistic term or phrase that people really don't know. They don't care how much you know. They don't care how smart you are and how long you've studied the Bible or how long you've been a Christian until they know how much you care. And that's that filtering knowledge through through love that's so important, no matter how wise we get, no matter how smart we are. So with the proper application of knowledge, we can build up our faith, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. It's part of that building and growing and increasing knowledge of the Lord process. And we can provide direction to channel our striving for moral excellence. You know, you can have all the faith in the world and all the moral excellence in the world, but unless you know what to do with that faith and where to channel that moral excellence or how to channel it, what good is it? That's why the knowledge is to be added in a continual work in progress process throughout the rest of our lives once we give ourselves to the Lord. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hopefully you're gaining knowledge on your own studies, in the assembly, in the Bible classes. We can't stress hard and strong enough how important it is to increase in your knowledge. Every one of us, not just a few, every one of us. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to perseverance brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Which one did I leave out? Thank you. You're learning. You're growing. I'll test you one of these days. We'll forget about this for a while and come back in a couple of months and say those again and see which one I left out, just so you remember them. But I'm encouraged by your remembering those anyway, and let's just continue to grow and help one another to do so. The song that Joe's chosen tonight is Kneel at the Cross. It is number 945. Kneeling at the cross is not something that we expect anybody to do and not ourselves. We all daily should kneel at the cross. When we understand who God is, what he's done for us, and what he continues to do, and what he will do, we have all responsibility and duty to kneel at the cross daily. Jesus said it's a daily walk to take up your cross daily and follow me. Part of that is kneeling at the cross and bearing ourselves to the one who loves us. If that's encouraging to you, if you need some assistance in your Christian life or non-Christian, if you need some assistance in understanding the Gospels and what God expects of you, this would be a really good time to make that known while we stand together and while we sing.